Log Talk Radio.
Show synthesizes the talents of world-class medium Mark Anthony, the psychic lawyer, psychic explorer,
and street-smart spiritualist, behavioral psychologist, Dr. Pat Cicilli.
This is The Psychic.
And The Doc. And it starts now.
I never get tired of our intro, Dr. Pat.
Oh, my God. I'm just like, who are those crazy people?
Well, you know, we had so much fun when we were doing that recording of that, and it was so creative. And, you know, I think we're going to have quite a bit of fun tonight, too.
We're going to have fun tonight, too. I'm already having fun. Before you even introduce our guests, I got to tell you, I did a sneak peek. And I took a sneak peek, and I'm not going to say who she is because I'm going to let you do that, but I looked at her newsletter. And I looked at the best and the worst, and I'm reading down the page, and there's something literally out of this page. I thought, oh, my gosh, she is right on. So it's the good news and the bad news. And I'm just going to say this, and then you take it away. The good news proves anybody can look anywhere in the world over and find family. The bad news is that it's also much easier now, more than ever before, to find fault with your cousin next door. Thank you, my friends and family, for sending me all of this wonderful, challenging fan mail you do. Mark, take it away.
You know, we are honored tonight to have as our guest Dr. PMH Atwater, who is one of the original researchers in the field of near-death experience studies. Dr. Atwater's research really stands out because it establishes that the near-death phenomenon, it's not just some kind of anomaly, but it's actually part of a larger genre of transformations of consciousness. She combines her decades of near-death research with the examination of altered states of consciousness, mysticism, and psychic phenomena. This lifetime endeavor conducted by Dr. Atwater covers over 43 years of work and involves the examination of nearly 7,000 people. Dr. PMH Atwater has lectured twice to the United Nations, and she's appeared on major TV and radio shows. She's received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the National Association of Transpersonal Hypnotherapists and the Outstanding Service Award from the International Association for Near-Death Studies. PMH Atwater is the author of 18 books. Her latest is The Forever Angels, Near-Death Experiences in Childhood and Their Lifelong Impact. Now, due to a technical difficulty, she won't be on camera. But let me tell you something. It's going to take a lot more than a technical problem to stop this force of nature from coming onto the show, the psychic and the doc. Welcome, Dr. PMH Atwater.
Good to have you. Yeah. Nothing's going to stop me.
Speaking of the International Association of Near-Death Studies, I have it on good information that you are one of the headline speakers at the IANS online conference between September 2nd and the 5th. Is that true?
Well, I'm one of the founders.
I figured.
So I go way back. I go way back, guys, way back. Kenneth Ring first found me. I had written a little book called I Died Three Times in 1977. It was in a Hartford bookstore. He walked in, saw the title of that little book, and tracked me down by telephone. He came over. I was living then in Harrisonburg, Virginia. He came over, my husband and I, he came over, spent a weekend with us. And then said, we had all kinds of discussions and talks and everything. And then by the early morning hours, he said to me, you know more about the near-death experience than anyone else.
Wow.
You have to come up to Connecticut and meet your colleagues. I didn't know there was any colleagues. I didn't, you know, I'd never heard of Raymond Moody, never read the book, none of that.
All I knew was what Elizabeth Kubler-Ross had told me when I met her at O'Hare Airport. That was in 1978. I told her about my experience. She called me a near-death survivor. She didn't use the word experiencer. And she told me all about the near-death experience. I only had what she said. And in my third near-death experience, I was told by an incredible voice. I call it the voice like none other. I mean, it was a voice that was so big, it filled the universe. I mean, wow. And that voice said, and I quote, test revelation. You are to do the research. One book for each death. Then it showed me what I was to do. It didn't tell me how to do it. It did not name book one. It did name book two, which is Future Memory. If you haven't read that book, get it. It is not a book. It is a labyrinth. You have to read it like you walk through a labyrinth, and it will bring your consciousness up to the next highest level possible for you. The third book is a manual for developing humans. It's also a very different kind of book. You will be amazed when you start reading it. And then, you know, that's all I had. And
wait, that's all you had? That's like, this is like interviewing Moses, you know. I mean, so this book, you heard a voice, right? So
all I could go on was I was a cop's kid. I was raised in a police station, so I used police investigative techniques as my protocol.
Perfect.
My dad always said, the body says more than the mouth does. So I'm watching bodies. I'm watching how you walk. I'm watching how you sit. I'm getting into your homes. Excuse me. I'm talking to your children or your health care givers or the neighbors. I'm talking to everybody I possibly can to find out if what you're telling me really passes muster with what everybody else is seeing. So I'm going over and over and over again. When I was in Minnesota, I forget what town I was in. I even went door to door looking for these people. I would knock on the door and say, you know, have you had a near-death experience? I found one person doing that.
Wow.
It was that crazy what happened to me. And to just show you how crazy it was.
Yeah.
At that, I was working. Well, by that time, I had immigrated from Idaho to Virginia. So I'm sort of in Virginia, but I have a job that takes me all over everywhere. I work for a telephone company that uses a new switching unit. So I'm being sent all over anywhere east of the Mississippi River. So I'm going all over these different towns and places. And so I'm doing a job in Macon, Georgia. And you know, I have a little extra time. So I take my little paperback, I go over to the truck stop, and I'm sitting there, and I'm having some orange juice, and I'm reading from my book. I'm just sitting at a little table right out in the middle of the place. And I have this guy walk up to me that I swear is as white as he was tall. And he comes up to me and says, lady, anybody sitting in that chair next to you? I said, no. He said, can I sit there? And I thought, well, you know, what could happen? So, okay, you can sit. And so he puts his elbow on the table. He gets as close to my face as he can get. And he looks at me eyeball to eyeball, and he says, I want you to know that I still swear and I still drink whiskey. But I want you to know all about the time I died and what I saw. Well, I mean, I don't know this guy. He doesn't know me. And that kind of thing happened for years and years and years. I finally decided that I must be wearing some kind of billboard that on the back says, tell me about your near-death experience. Because, you know, how do these people know?
Well, let me, can I back up a bit? And I know we're coming up on the break, but I want to talk about the voice. And because I've had, and I think many people have had encounters with an entity and intelligence they term as the voice. And Dr. Pat, I believe you talked about this as well, because you've been through, so many.
Yeah, boy, do I talk about the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
What did it sound like?
Oh, we've got quite a group tonight.
Oh, we do. We do.
Yeah, baby.
We got the metaphysical trio going on here.
My voice never came to me oming. It didn't happen. I'm a girl from the Bronx. My voice didn't come to me quite that way. But does it matter, right, Mark?
No, it doesn't matter.
Right.
No, it doesn't. And Dr. Atwater, how would you describe the voice? Was it male? Was it female? Was it both? Neither? You're not sure? How did you perceive?
Let me give you a little preface. Back in Idaho, I started Idaho's first nonprofit metaphysical corporation by the name of Inner Form. Mm-hmm. We ran for 7 years. I held all kinds of conferences. Gave all kinds of classes. We did everything we could to bring in the best, to tell people the difference between, that which is really good and that which is questionable. And so I've been around hundreds of people, thousands of people, literally thousands of people, for decades and decades before I ever died. And I was sort of born this way, kind of. And so I knew voices. And I know contacting people on the other side, that's not new to me.
Right.
Prayer, that's not new to me either. And even being able to get these incredible voices that just every cell in your body, you're alert and you say, okay, I'm ready. Some of these voices that are just so spiritual and so high. So please know I'm acquainted with all of that.
Right.
And then I died in 1977.
Don't mind asking, do you mind sharing how you died and what led up to that? I mean, if that's okay?
Mm-hmm. Just a little bit. I was raped.
Ooh.
Yeah. And became pregnant and was the complications from the pregnancy that caused the death.
Oh, my goodness.
My first one was January 2nd, 1977. Then it was January 4th. And then March 29, and then later that year, I had three major relapses, one of which was total adrenal failure. When this was all over, or even during it, I had to relearn how to stand, how to crawl, how to walk, how to tell the difference between left and right, how to see properly, hear properly, and I had to rebuild all my belief systems. So everything I knew up until that point, I lost it. It was gone. And I had to rebuild everything.
Yeah.
And in that rebuilding process, I discovered me I didn't know existed. And that voice that spoke to me is, I cannot compare it to voices in prayer, I cannot compare it to any other kind of voice I've ever heard in my life or ever heard of. All I can say is that this voice owns the universe. This voice owns the universe. It is a voice that is above and beyond anything you can think of that is spiritual. And that voice is what spoke to me. And it is that voice that I have obeyed. And I finished my research this year. Not completely. I still have a couple of books I want to do, a couple of things I want to talk about. But in essence, my work is done. Work is done in the sense of that voice and what it told me to do. If I'm going to get a new assignment, I don't know. I don't know.
I have a feeling that's coming. But I do know that, and Dr. Powell and I were talking about this at our production meeting, that and I mentioned that when I called you, I said, well, we'd like to know about, you know, you are a researcher and one of the original near-death experience researchers
right.
in a field that is traditionally dominated by men.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I know Dr. Pat, you know, you do so much wonderful work with women. And
do you know how I squeezed through that?
That was going to be my next question. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you and I both squeezed through that hole.
Yeah, let's
learn. The way I squeezed through that hole, I had immigrated, and I used that word because it's true. I had immigrated from Idaho to Virginia, and that's true. It wasn't immigration because I felt that the United States ended at Denver, and so anything east of Denver was in Greece or Europe or Russia, but it wasn't in the United States. So it was a real adventure for me to come to Virginia. I worked in the Washington D.C. area for a while, and I began my research in the Washington D.C. area because that's where I was. That's where I got plunked, found a job there, and began. Mark, you're going to love this. The first talk I gave in the Washington D.C. area. Was at a police station, and then they had a large hall where they invited people to come in and give talks. So my very first talk was in a police station. I thought, oh, this is
how was that received? Because I know that you were raised in a law enforcement family, and as a prosecutor and defense attorney, I've worked with, and as a medium actually, I've worked with law enforcement quite a bit, and I know that people certainly have their conceptions, but cops see everything. They see everything, all walks of life, everything. So I know that you just said it terrified you, but how was it received?
Not the cops. It was the audience.
Yeah.
When I was through with my talk, I had a woman come up to me with stars in her eyes. And she said, oh, I wish something like that would happen to me so I could be like you. And I just, thunderbolts of terror went through me. Oh, God, did I do it? I mean, what did I do to mislead this woman? So at that moment, I never talked about my experience again for several decades.
I
did not want to mislead anybody because you can get this through other means and other areas. So for me, research was always first. Always. Yeah.
I love that about you. One of the things the first time you and I talked, and you probably don't remember it, was related to you on two bases. One was, both you and I probably had bell-shaped heads from the Bell Company for a long time. But the other thing that I read and I picked up and it stayed with me because my research was challenged too when I included a scale on spirituality, and that is the Russian proverb, trust but verify.
Oh, yeah, that's my motto.
That's your motto. And
absolutely, trust but verify.
Trust but verify. And what you went up against with the criticism of your research, the resilience that you must have had to get through that. This is the reason I'm talking with you about it, for those people that contact me once a week about wanting to use my research. This body of work, or when you are rigorous in what you bring forward, and when you do what you do, this builds resilience, or in my mom's case, it killed her. But this builds the thing that only the guidance of a voice can carry you forward. And when I was asked, what was the voice like? When somebody, I'm doing a lot of interviews now, so now I get to be on the other side of the table, and boy, I'm telling you, I'm learning some stuff. When I was asked not too long ago what that voice was, my answer was, in the world that I live in, it is already an indescribable decibel. It cannot be described. Even the word decibel doesn't really make it.
Yeah.
But what you've done, and to be here laughing about it, and to hear you say that this, let's just call it episode from The Voice, you're done. I got to tell you, I'm excited about whether you get a new voice or something happens, because these are the things that we're being asked to talk about. And there's a boldness. And, you know, I have to give you credit for this. 2 days ago, for the first time in an 18-year career doing this, 10 years with the network, I finally said out loud the diagnosis I had after I passed out one day, ended up in an emergency vehicle, rushed to a hospital. But the experience I had afterwards and what they said about me, I never really shared. And what happened with that was, with 100 tests, everything upside down, one doctor says, you know what we think about you? We think you're on the spectrum. Now, mind you, I'm a lot smarter today. I thought he meant the color spectrum. I looked at this doctor and I said, well, I love purple. And he looked at me and he said, I am not talking about that spectrum. And, you know, this is the world we live in, where we can now be open about who we are. But maybe being on that spectrum, thank you, Elon Musk and Saturday Night Live, for most of us, maybe there was an opening that helped us. And I think that's part of this ongoing conversation that I'd love to have with you. You know,
well, I had how do I put this into words? Okay, I'm here in Virginia. I had an opportunity to move to Roanoke, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So from the D.C. area, so I did.
Yeah.
I was staying overnight. I was able to rent a bedroom from a retired couple from Ohio. So I'm there. I get this job, this telephone kind of a job that takes me all over everywhere, and then Terry Atwater had proposed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thinking, you know, I'm gonna get married. What will my name be? And so I'm thinking, you know, numerology, astrology, couldn't peg the name at all. So I gave it to God.
Oh, yeah.
God, you name me. So that night I had the most unusual vision I have ever had. This sparkly black background and these huge mammoth block white shiny letters that said B period, M period, H period, Atwater. And I jump to bed and I go screaming into the kitchen where these lovely people were seated and sat down at a table and I said, What? That's got to be the dumbest, most egotistical, most stupid name I have ever heard in my life. And then I heard myself cursing what God had given me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back into prayer.
Yep.
And I said, is this the real name you want me to wear? You know, is this my name? And after 9 days, it felt like I had been born with that name. So when Terry and I were married, I filled out all the forms, so go through the legal system. From now on, I'm PMH Atwater. And so all of my books had PMH Atwater on them. Well, guess what? People couldn't tell male, female, so that they thought that it was male. And it was because of that male-sounding name that my research was accepted.
That's right. You and J.K. Rowling. Exactly, right?
That's exactly what happened.
And you know, in D.C. Fontana, she was one of the producers of Star Trek.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. We could even bring in Rocky for a minute. When she, you know, uses that name because she found that when she's using her full name, a lot of male production people wouldn't get back with her. And I'm really glad, Dr. Atwater, that you're bringing this up because women have such a hurdle to overcome in these. Look, I'm in the legal profession, which is now, for the first time in history, they say in law school classes are closer to 60% women and 40% male when formerly.
The other way around. Yeah,
the other way around. I mean, there was a time when it was like 90% men. So at least in the legal profession, which is usually 20, 30 years behind the times, that finally caught up. And so
that's how my work.
The voice helped you or guided you or gave you that information. Wow.
Yeah. So that's how I broke through the barrier.
I love it, though, because, you know, when spirit operates, when you hear the voice, we always think sometimes that, you know, if we go to this place, now I hear it. I mean, this is what happened to me after that drive to the hospital event. I wasn't the same. I couldn't do anything with my PhD. I was supposed to be a big-time consultant. Hello? I mean, I'm telling you, I came home and I was so lost. I created the concept of crust busting, and I'm telling you, I accidentally dialed a phone number, and I didn't hang up. And I pulled out a credit card in 2003, and off I went doing a whole bunch of things, being guided. And the first time I tried to tell someone, especially the partner I was with, I know I just have to do this, the answer was, you sure we shouldn't take you back to the hospital? I said, no, because we know I'm on the, quote, spectrum, so we all have to get over it. But that really wasn't it. I was different.
Yeah.
I was different. Yeah. I didn't know how to say what you just said. To describe it. I didn't have those words. I wasn't in the arena I'm in today. I was a corporate Bell Labs, put on your little fancy corporate bow tie. I worked my way up from homelessness, jail, in the mailroom, part of divestiture, executive position, and then I looked in the mirror and I was unrecognizable to myself.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I've had two mothers and five fathers, and so, you know, I can go through all of that kind of stuff too. But I'll tell you, I didn't even know what an abstract was. I didn't know what a paper was. I had no idea what those things were. My idea of higher education was how high you could clear a corral fence when a bull was chasing you. Now, that's higher education.
I had to learn
all that, and I finally got myself into college. That was in Montreal, Quebec.
Wow.
In the United States, and I got an LHD, which is not it's not like a PhD, but I
it's
did
still
the work.
It's still a D.
I did the work, and I got my papers published in peer-reviewed journals. Some of my work, I was mentioned in Lancet Medical Journal for some of my work. I mean, my work. Nearly 5,000 adults and child experiencers. So if you're going to look back at my total involvement in working with people, but even before I died, you know, if you're going to look at that, then it's closer to 7,000 or 8,000 people that I've worked with. But specifically, nearly 5,000 adults and children, and spent a lot of time on the after effects, because that's so important that we look at the after effects, especially with children. And I'm going to tell everybody, get the book, The Forever Angels.
Oh, I love that book.
Because we've got to look at the whole experience and how it affects children. Yes, the out-of-the-mouth-of-babe stories are wonderful. We love those stories. But who goes back 5 years later, 10 years later, 20 years later, and talks to that same kid? What's it like for you now? And you'll find out it's very, very different. What we're finding with what I found, now, excuse me, this is a major study. It's 397 people. So it's a major study of child experiencers. It started in the 90s. My first book on that was The New Children and Near-Death Experiences. And in that study, my limit or what I was looking for was birth to the age of 15. Well, I had hardly any teenagers or tweens. It went up to about the age of seven. So I could take that work and I could combine it with the new study. 5 years old, birth to the age of five. So I could combine those studies. So that's the 397. And what I was looking for with the latest batch, was the first batch was primarily younger set, and the youngest person I worked with is 4 years old, so up into their 20s. This time I went after those that were more mature, so we're looking at people 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and they had to validate their experience. Well, believe it or not, this lady who was 82, her sister was able to validate her experience. Her sister was in her 70s. So it was just, fabulous. But my question to the older people was, did having a near-death experience at that tender age make any difference in your life? If it did, what? So basically, I'm asking for essays. I'll tell you, those essays, many of them were so tear-stained, I could hardly read them. One woman said, and she's a woman in poverty, she said, nobody checks people in poverty. Well, I did. She saved all her pennies until she could afford in a folder to send me her material. I mean, it's fabulous. And what I'm finding with these kids, most of them could remember their birth. One third could remember being in the womb. Two could remember conception. One of them drew a picture of it when she could and showed it to her parents. And they were very embarrassed, but she was very right. So she was there and saw, you know, the exercises that they were doing in bed and drew a picture of it. Can you imagine that? But these kids, most of them are coming back more intelligent, really intelligent, it's fabulous. A lot of them are coming back abstracting.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what abstracting is like.
Please.
Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
This is a first grader, and he's not quite six. Georgia. And he drowns halfway through school, first grade. They were able to bring him back. He recovered, and he's now back in school. And stop for a minute. What are kids reading in the first grade? See Spot Run, Dick and Jane. This kid is reading Greek mythology, understands it, and goes up to his teacher and says, why was the book Robinson Crusoe ever written? Should pull him out of the first grade, of course. They're able to abstract. Plus, many of them have synesthesia. Now, that's when the limbic system in the brain, where all of our emoting and everything is the seat of that, where you're often that tends to be very different. Let me give you an example of synesthesia. I can do that from my own life. I did not have a near-death experience as a little bitty kid, but I was born with synesthesia, where your sensing systems are different. So in first grade, I was the only kid in school who could smell color, see music, and hear numbers. I spent most of the first grade on a tall stool in front of the class, having to wear a tall conical hat that said dunce on it as an example of a bad child who told lies.
Right. Thank you.
You know,
and I got kicked out of Catholic boarding school for that.
I mean, it was a nightmare. By the time I was through with the first grade, I was so angry.
Oh, my gosh.
I decided that all adults were stupid, and I was never going to be one when I grew up.
I don't become one yet.
So, Dr. Atwater, how can people find out about you and your books?
Yeah. Yes.
What's your website?
Well, certainly my website, www.pmhatwater.com. If you're interested in my newsletter, and I tell everybody,
the newsletter's
only
great.
Only for the
genius. The newsletter's
great.
Awesome. So people
because you never know what's going to be in it.
Exactly.
You get over to my, you get on my newsletter, or website, and then you go over to newsletter, and there's an archive there, so you can look at previous issues, and then you sign up there, and you get the free one.
So
every month,
the book is available on Amazon. I just want to make sure we mention that for those.
Oh yeah, on all of my books are, by the way.
You were interviewed on the book in 2019, and I just want to say to everybody, the book, go over to Amazon on it. But now when you go over to Amazon, look, what I want to tell y'all is what you have is you got the book, you got the Kindle, you got the audio book. You've got a lot. It's available, like, for everyone.
And a real plus here.
I have to interrupt. You're an awesome writer. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a character.
I read your books, and I was reading your books, and the way you write, yes, it's technical, but it's like I'm reading a novel, and I can't wait to find out what happens next. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
So, everybody, you're so sweet. Well, it's the truth. So if you want to get Dr. Atwater's books, visit pmhatwater.com, or you can go and do an Amazon search and do books by PMH Atwater, and you're going to get the whole list of them. So I didn't mean to interrupt, but I wanted people to understand that, because a lot of people think when we're writing books and we're explaining things from a scientific or technical part, it's going to be like trudging through a real estate and calculus textbook rolled into one.
Hey, I don't bore anybody.
No, exactly. So I know that as one of the founders of IANS, and this year is the 40th anniversary of the founding of IANS. What are you talking about? What's your topic?
I'm going to talk a little bit about Ken Ring and how he found me and insisted that I go up to stores to meet my colleagues. Of course, I didn't know I had a colleague, and IANS had been in existence for maybe 2 months, and so I went up there and I challenged their archives, so I could read everything they did in their files, and I put together my first questionnaire I ever did, and so I sent 50 copies out to their people, 50 copies out to my people. People, 100 there, 100 anyway. Got the replies back. And their people and my people were all saying the same thing, love, 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 unconditional love, going on and on and on about God and about angels and all that stuff. But my people, I knew different. I knew they were having problems in their homes. I knew there was divorce. I knew all kinds of things that were challenging them. And then, I got it. Absolutely. None of us know what unconditional love is. We're talking all about unconditional love. We don't know what it means. Unconditional love is God's love. It's every woman you see is mother, your aunt, your daughter. Every man you see is your father, your son, your brother. That's unconditional love. And we don't have a grasp of that. So in trying to live that, and trying to know what that is, we tumble over ourselves. And we get into this area of after effects, and I really get deeply into that in all of my books, and especially little bitty kids. I'm going to give you a number, and that number is 74. Remember, 74%. 74% of my 397 people were very, very successful in life. Several of them became millionaires. 74%, another 74% were suicide prone.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because children have no idea what suicide is. A child's thinking is, oh, I'm in this beautiful, wonderful, beautiful world with beautiful people, and I'm not breathing. Oh, now I'm breathing again, but that world is gone. So the way to get back to that world is to kill myself. They don't know the difference. There's a whole chapter in the book called PTSD. 34% in my research were positive about having had a near-death experience. 61% were negative. It's home. It's all about home. They want to go back to their home. It's all guilt for wanting to go back, betrayal for getting kicked out. It's all about home.
Can I ask a question?
We need to look at that.
I know from law, when I'm interviewing or questioning an adult, that's one thing. But you have to take a different approach with children. And with something as complex and spiritual as a near-death experience, how is it different for you, or what do you do differently in discussing or interviewing a child as opposed to an adult who's had an NDE?
You never have your eyes above theirs. Never. So if the kid is 4 years old, guess where you are? You is on your knees or on the floor. Your eyes can never be above theirs, ever. It always has to be at the eye level. And when you're working with children, you have to make sure their parents are not in the room. There are no other, like a school teacher or something like that, or nurse. They cannot be in the room. It's just you and the kid. And maybe you might pat him a little bit on the shoulder and just, you know, just listen and smile. And open up the conversation, and they'll take off 90 miles an hour. You don't have to worry about kids. And you know, if you want to ask a little question, that's fine. But mainly you're looking at the body. Remember what my dad said. The body says more than the mouth does. So you're watching what they're doing that has a meaning. And you know what that meaning is. It makes a real difference. I want to say something here. I don't know how long this show is, but I want to talk about out-of-body experiences.
We have a good 6 minutes for you to go.
We have how long?
6 minutes.
Okay, I'll hurry. This case, Alma, and she had her near-death experience at the age of 2 because the family friend kept coming into her bedroom, and he'd shut the door, and he'd climb on, you know, I'm rushing. And he would rape her. A child, when they're under stress or when they're in a difficult situation, the soul always goes up to the ceiling. That's not an out-of-body experience. That is a defense mechanism. Any child, whether they're a baby whether they're a kid, whether they're 3 or 4 years old, whether they're 6 or 7, if they are under stress or frightened, always the soul will leave the body. That's how they save themselves. That's a defense mechanism.
Wow, that's fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. That's just amazing. I just want to reiterate what you're talking, Ian's. You're going to be discussing how you said Ken Ring. I know he's a friend of yours, but he's Dr. Kenneth Ring, and I've had the pleasure of talking to Dr. Ring. He actually endorsed my last book, Evidence of Eternity, and you endorsed my upcoming book, The Afterlife Frequency. I'm very honored. Thank you for that. And if anyone wants to find out more about Dr. Atwater, and do sign up for her newsletter. It's fascinating. Her books are simply amazing. Please visit pmhatwater.com. So other than IANS, I know that you are always in motion. What do you have coming up, Dr. Atwater?
Well, I want to tell everybody about the Animal Life series. I wrote six books for parents and children about animal babies that come from the light. They go into boom and birth and miscarriage and all these things that can happen. And I did this so that parents and grandparents everywhere could sit down with their children and find out, can they remember birth? Can they remember being in the womb? Can they remember any of that? And so you go to Amazon.com, you go Animal Light Series, and it's Winnie Rolls Around, it's a horse, Busy Betty Wiggles, who's a monkey, Oops a Baby, who's a skunk, Tommy Two Toes, which is a fawn, Wee Wee Willikins, which is a hedgehog, and Sally Susie Q, excuse me, who's a kitten. And so I wrote these books for parents and grandparents everywhere so that they could have a way of sitting down with their children and find out what they can remember.
Wow, that is so interesting. What prompted you to work with children in the in your death experience arena?
They just popped up.
Great.
I didn't go after them. They came after me.
That's
they just
awesome.
Popped up.
Yeah.
Yep. It just popped up.
Yeah.
Please know, I didn't plan this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that that's where we're kind of bringing this full circle. Because, you know, some people have asked me, what would your life have been like if you, I don't know, like, let me just put it bluntly, not have followed the voice? And I said, how do I know?
I have no idea.
How
would I know?
But here you are.
I've been doing this for nearly 44 years. And,
well,
I can't imagine doing it any differently, but I must say I'm now working on my 19th book.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a little bit of a memoir.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at my life and, you know, all of it. And there's a lot of grief in there.
Mm.
And I've really gotten into grief because when I was a little kid going to school, that's Pearl Harbor. So everywhere, there's the Nazis, there's Hitler, the people dying everywhere. And life was so difficult. You know, when we look at COVID-19 now and all of these terrible things that are happening, we don't know nothing like we had to face then. I mean, if you were going to eat, you had a victory garden. If you didn't have a victory garden, you didn't eat. Simple. It was just that simple.
You know what?
And that's what I grew up with.
We're going to have you back because we have only scratched the surface, and we want to make sure your camera's working.
Absolutely.
But this has been an absolute honor and pleasure having you. PMAchotwater.com, Dr. Pat.
Thank you for your patience.
Show next week, too. Oh, patience. This is great. I love this.
Let's just call this a progressive conversation.
Okay. That would be fun.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us.
I love you all.
Thank you. Love you too.
Yeah, lots of kisses. Bye-bye.
Lots to think about. Mark, what a great show.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody tuning us in, turning us on. Thank you, Jacob, and thank you for all of you for being you and support of this incredible show. And Mark, have fun.
We'll see everybody next week. We're taking calls from listeners next week. Many blessings. All right,
everybody. See you then.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good sunny Thursday to you. I'm Penny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for Around the Sound. Well, the morning rush is now past us. We have a little bit of slowing still on I-5 northbound around the West Seattle Bridge on up into downtown Seattle on the I-90. Also on the east side, still heavy out of those S-curves northbound up through the Kennedale Hill. Stop and go issue, but it will break free after Southeast 64th Street and the construction zone. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news and weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. This time, it's Live the Good Life Radio Show with your host, Sabrina Wright. And do you feel overwhelmed with swirling emotions? Well, she has special guest, Shauna Morelli, to help you through it.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The Justice Department is expected to sue Texas over a controversial new abortion law. The U.S. Supreme Court recently declined to block implementation of the Texas law, which bans abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. It offers no exceptions for rape or incest. President Biden is expected to sign an order today requiring all federal workers to be vaccinated. The administration has been pushing hard to get shots into the arms of more unvaccinated Americans amid the rapid spread of the Delta variant. Meantime, Moderna says it has a team working on a hybrid vaccine that's effective against both COVID-19 and the flu. New evacuation orders are being issued in the nearly two-month-old Dixie Fire in Northern California. Cal Fire says the blaze is getting very dynamic and is making a significant run to the northeast beyond the primary containment lines. The Dixie Fire is officially 59% contained at just over 927,000 acres. This year marks the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, and organizers have some special additions planned for the ceremony in New York City. James Flippin has more.
National September 11th Memorial and Museum President and CEO Alice Greenwald calls the over four-hour-long reading of the victims' names the heart and soul of the ceremony, and that'll be back and in person this year after it was pre-recorded last year due to COVID concerns.
This year we will be adding some musical performances as well as a special nod to the milestone.
She adds the readers are increasingly too young to have lived it firsthand.
To them, this is now history to be learned as opposed to memory. I think that transition is really significant on this anniversary.
James Fulpin, New York.
Having a record year.
Eric Church and Chris Stapleton each pick up five Country Music Award nominations. The CMA announced the nominations this morning. Church and Stapleton are nominated for Entertainer of the Year. Miranda Lambert, who has the most female CMA nominations with 58, received three of those today, including Female Vocalist of the Year. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-823-6836. 800-823-6836. 800-823-6836. That's 800-823-6836.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready to uncover, develop, and celebrate the greatest you you can be. Welcome to the Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Sabrina is a holistic health and wellness advocate, consultant, encourager, and therapist, here to help you dive into self-care so you can be your own greatest advocate. Could you use a little direction? Sabrina takes a holistic, multifaceted approach. No part of your well-being is left behind. We all want to feel healthy, happy, and whole. So let's get to it. The Live the Good Life Show starts now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Live the Good Life Show. I'm your host, Sabrina Wright, and I'm really excited for you to be here today. Our show is going to be phenomenal and life-changing. But first of all, what I'd like to do is share a deep gratitude to Dr. Pat Casale and the Transformation Talk Radio Network, because without this particular platform, I am not able to share or bring on guests who are able to share and really make an impact into our modern day challenges and into our lives. And I'm just deeply grateful for that. I want to also thank and show appreciation for my support, which is my friends and family, my posse of friends, right? But also too for the behind the scenes people who keep me focused and centered and help make me look better. I want to thank my producer, Jamie, and I want to thank Benny, too, because, man, without you two, I don't know how I'd be showing up, right? This show is all about encouraging and empowering you to live a really good life. And I'm just deeply grateful that this show has between 2 and 3 million listeners across the world. And I want to thank you for connecting after the show, in between shows, sending your emails, asking questions, looking for resources. That really just touches my heart. And so I would like to encourage you to continue to send emails, connect on Facebook, and connect with all of the ways that myself and all of my guests show up in the social platform. So you're probably, if you're new, you're probably wondering, what do I do? So what I do is I help people live a healthy and vital life. And we take a look at root causes, whatever the dysfunction, the discomfort or the dis-ease is within their bodies. And today's guest, ma'am, I've learned so much from her as a colleague and as an educator, and I'm thrilled to have her today as my guest. I would like to introduce to you Shuna Morelli. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She's the founder and director of the Body Mind Bridge Institute in Silicon, Washington. And she's developed the Body-Mind Bridge method of self-healing. This is profound because this technique is a breakthrough whole mind system that unites our conscious awareness of the deep creative levels of our mind with the innate wisdom of our physical bodies that we were born with. She guides people to engage with their own body intelligence to relieve a variety of symptoms manifesting in your body. Shuna studied with shamans in Peru and the United States. She's been a body worker. She's a teacher. She's an avid reader and a student of quantum mechanics. She delights in exploring both human consciousness and the magnificent physical body that permeates. Shuna sees a great shift happening in the way that we deliver medical care, a shift predicated upon our emerging understanding of our deeper mind and the ability that it has to heal us. Shuna has trained a full range of healthcare professionals and has become certified and has helped those professionals become certified as body-mind bridge practitioners. And this body of professionals range from psychologists to primary care physicians to mental health therapists and massage therapists. And they all learn this method and use it to empower their patients, their clients, to recover from symptoms by learning how to engage in our own healing mind. I love this quote from Shuna. I've come to see that our magnificent body is infused with spirit, that the two are always talking with one another, and that we can learn to listen in. When we do, we heal. So I would like to introduce you to my friend and my guest, Shuna Morelli.
Thank you so much, Sabrina.
You're welcome. I'm just tickled to be here and to be able to have this conversation with you, because the thing is, it's kind of long overdue, in my opinion, but it's such an important conversation to have right now, coming off of an extremely challenging and trying 2020.
Yeah, and it's been challenging so many of us in so many different levels of our lives and our life experience, so yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something that you mentioned a couple of times in the intro was the idea of being engaged with our own healing, because we're not brought up to think that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there's something wrong, you go find an expert or a pill or something that will cure you, and that works great sometimes, and sometimes when something becomes chronic, whether it's a mental illness or emotional stuff or chronic physical stuff, when that keeps coming up, then that is actually a gift. I see it as a gift. Those things that we call symptoms aren't necessarily something to get rid of, because they are actually the deeper part of you who cares about you trying to get your conscious attention, because something needs to be done. So it's about engaging.
It is. I agree fully. And I did get your book right here, which I think is fantastic, because the title of the book is What If Symptoms Are Your Friend? So here's an introduction to Body Mind Bridge and your self-healing mind. And I'm someone who's not a huge fan of pills and medicines, and that fueled my education and my career development, mm-hmm. because really it's important not to abdicate my health, my power, my whatever to somebody else, because they don't live in my vessel. They don't have the experiences, right? So before we really get started, though, in our conversation, if you would, I'm thinking it'd be really important to define a few things, like what is trauma, so that we have a foundation and a starting point for the conversation, if you don't mind. So for you, what is trauma? When you're working with a client,
you know, that's become part of everyday language now, thank goodness. We're talking a lot about this word trauma, and there's a lot of ideas about what that is. My take on trauma is that when something happens to us, when our body kicks in the fight or flight thing, and we can't run and we can't fight it off, the last choice is to freeze. And when we are in a traumatic situation, especially when we're younger, we actually freeze ourselves. It's something that our nervous system and our endocrine system step in to do at that moment when you can't run and you can't fight, you have to freeze, and that's your last chance of survival sometimes. And so the trauma that you may be living with today is hooked in with something that happened back in your history. And the trauma itself that we experience day to day is actually, it's kind of like an erupting of those old emotions. You know how you get triggered, right? Oh. You get triggered, somebody says something, and it has something to do with what happened in your past, and you get traumatized again. And you get blindsided and you don't, like, where the heck did that come from? It came from the part of you that's still in your body, still holding on to that energy, that fear, that anger, that shame, and it's trying to get your attention so that you can finally let it complete its trajectory out of your body.
So, stuck emotion.
Yes.
I mean, for me, it's like, let's get really simple. You know, first, it's stuck emotions. And those emotions that are stuck haven't been released. And so, of course, they manifest in negative thought processes, right? Mm-hmm. They also manifest in discomfort and disease within your body. I know a client that I had worked with a few years ago who had a horrible time with irritable bowel syndrome, and any time there was a stressful situation, that client would just tense up and all of a sudden would have these stomach issues because of the stress and anxiety started to manifest when they were in a particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's real. It really is real. And I also, too, I talk to clients about the fact that trauma overwhelms us as individuals, and what happens is we're not able to cope or function, and it's because we either don't have the vocabulary, we don't have the understanding, or again, to your statement is we're in a situation where we're unsafe.
Yes. Yeah, and so we go into something that is called a survival trance. When we're younger and something's happening to us and we can't fight or flee, we check out. And that's called a survival trance. Psychologists call it dissociating. We check out, our awareness goes away with the idea that hopefully when our awareness returns, we'll still be okay. But we can't tolerate what's going on at the moment, so we check out. And when we check out, if we're able to immediately say, oh, that scared me, if we're immediately able to express what just happened to us, a lot of times the survival trance just takes care of itself. It just states, but a lot of times we don't. It's a secret. We can't speak. And that's when, as you say, stuck emotions, those emotions are energy. They're a locus of energy in our body that our body will hold on to us for however long, until we figure out a way to go in and finish the trajectory of that emotion.
Great. I just want to break here, Shuna. We've got a break to go to, and I want to ask this question to our listeners, and when we come back, we'll answer, and that is, do we necessarily realize or recognize survival trances ourselves? And when that happens. So when we come back, we'll be meeting with Shuna Morelli and more information.
Feel just
okay.
Well, how about you tune in and get ready to be more with the Healing Hour with me, Doc Martin, every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm ready for your questions, and I can't wait to help you find the answers. Every month, we'll have a new live call-in show with innovative topics and a powerful hour of healing. To learn more about me, visit DrKarenMartin.com. See you there. I'm going to be here. You won't want to miss it.
Join a global community connecting our hearts with extraterrestrials who only understand unconditional love and inner peace. The Extraterrestrial Trust Revolution, ETR, provides expertise in raising an individual's energy level through a 13-month course and 8 energy portal journeys. Find out more about this 13-month course as well as an entire resource for you to learn about ETR at connectwithets.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self?
Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com.
Welcome back to Live the Good Life Show, everyone, and I'm your host, Sabrina Wright, and my guest today is a phenomenal joy when I ever get together with her to talk. We have very rich, vibrant conversations, and today we're talking about the body-mind bridge and self-healing techniques. And if you are just tuning in, we are going to answer the question, do we even know if we have any survival techniques or trauma? Trances, survival trances, that's what it is. Do we even, not only do we know what they are, but do we even know and recognize if we have them?
Yeah.
So Tuna, again, flesh out a little bit more about what a survival trance is.
First of all, we all have them. I would say that all human beings have one or more survival trances, and this may be the very first time we've ever even heard that term. And a lot of people that I've mentioned that term to, they kind of pause and they go, oh. And it makes sense to them somehow, intuitively, just the word, survival trance. It's actually something that is meant to help us. Because as I mentioned earlier, when we're younger and traumatic things happen to us and we don't know what to do, we're trapped or whatever, we put ourselves into a survival trance. It doesn't happen to us. It happens below radar. In other words, our conscious mind doesn't do it, but our physiology kicks in. Our nervous system and our endocrine system work together to help us check out. And we actually put ourselves into a trance at that particular time. And by trance, I just mean we remove our awareness from what's going on. Later, the whole idea is later you're able to express what that trance was, and then it will dissolve. It will deactivate. I like that word, deactivate. It can deactivate in the moment, but if we aren't able to express what just happened to us, it's the trance, the lack of awareness stays in our body and continues to hurt, continues to be afraid, et cetera. So now we're 30, 40, 50 years old, right? And for some reason, we're always afraid. We're always anxiety in the background, or we're depressed, and we've been working with depression for so long. And we know intuitively that there's a beginning place to those things in us, that it started somewhere. It's not just a random thing. So we intuitively know that. And so Sabrina, you asked, do we even know if we have survival trances? A lot of people have never heard the word to be able to connect the awareness that, oh, that might be what is going on with me. That might be something that I will want to investigate someday, is to go into my deeper part of my mind and find that seven-year-old who's still in a survival trance and still trying to get our attention because of it, because they need our help.
So in your experience, are you seeing clients that come to you first for body work or for emotional work?
Yes.
And can you really separate it? I mean, quite frankly, I mean, I know for myself, it's a matter of that's when they're referred, is that they're in that chronic state, and it's the I'm the last resort before surgery or something significant. That means you're going to be losing something. So my approach is that we, you know, relax and we taper down that nervous system to be able to take a look at the root cause of really what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's very frightening for a lot of people. A lot of people don't want to go there. It's too scary in their deeper mind. And I get that.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. We don't get, in my experience, and I've worked with hundreds of clients with lots of different traumas, and no one's ever become re-traumatized as they go inside and do their deeper work. And what I've discovered is when that person is fully in charge of the journey and the choices, et cetera, et cetera, then they're all up in trying, they're all up in doing something. They're actually taking action. In other words, when I, how do I explain this? The conscious mind, our resourceful adult self, when our resourceful adult self decides to do a journey like this, an inward journey, to find the parts of them that are still hurting, when they're in charge, they actually get work done, and it shifts the energy in a person's body when they go through this particular way, this body-mind bridge thing that I do. And there's other ways to do this type of work. I just use the type of work that allows a person to be in charge of their whole thing. I'm the guide. I train people to be the guide, but the client, which, by the way, Sabrina, most of my clients are self-referred. They hear about it, they talk to me, they discover, okay, so that is what I want to do, or I'm not quite ready for that yet.
Sure.
It is. Yeah.
Sure.
Does that explain what this is about?
It does. It does, absolutely. It does. I mean, we do similar work. I think our vocabulary is a little bit different. But it's really profound to be able to walk alongside someone through their journey, helping them and educating them with our knowledge so that they understand what's going on with them. And that understanding allows them to be empowered to take action. And really, that's what we want. Ultimately, that's what the client, the patient wants, and we as facilitators and guides, that's what we want.
Yes.
And by doing that, there's a ton of freedom that happens, and there are chains that we've been held captive under for years that just start to melt away. And then that opens up a person emotionally, mentally, physically, to have a more vibrant and healthy, wow, a really good life, right?
Yeah, because, when we hold all that stuff in us for decades, it is still affecting us daily. And then when we work with layers of it, we release layer after layer after layer of it, we have so much more life energy to do what we really want to do and moving forward in our life. And the amazing thing is a lot of us minimize our own traumas, right? We always minimize it. It's like, oh, I didn't have it as bad as so-and-so, right? And I invite people to maybe perhaps look at your traumas with more compassionate eyes.
I agree. I don't know about you, but do any of these comments just kind of kind of give you a hiccup. Just put on your big girl panties. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Get over it. Move on through. Come on, let's be a trooper, right?
Okay. Yes.
And that minimizes the experience and it minimizes the emotion. And ultimately, I find with clients and patients, it's been minimizing the individual. And that is not right. And that is not good. And that is not healthy. So I'm all for, yes, connecting people to techniques and an understanding of their value and worth as individuals, mm-hmm. that their experiences are painful, and your level of pain may be different than my level of pain, but it does not, there's no comparison. It really, there is no comparison, none whatsoever. So
we don't have to suffer as much as we are.
We don't, not at all. I see that it's, gosh, this is just going so quick. We're going to another break. So when we get back, let's talk about what the four basic types of common trances are that we would experience so that people have a better understanding, and maybe we'll see that some of their character traits or their beliefs might be affected by survival trances.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll meet you back. All righty. Mm-hmm. Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit urpurepotential.com for more info.
Are you feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio. Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Are you ready to experience full body system wellness? Tune in to the Empower Me Show with Pam Bright, a spiritual toolbox for your life. Embrace the fullness of who you are as a spiritual being, having a human experience. Pam Bright is a multidimensional healer, light language channel, energy intuitive, and spiritual transformation coach. Join her for a rich conversation about how to unlock all your spiritual gifts. Mondays at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Are you ready to branch out? Take a leap of faith. Tune in to Get Rooted Radio with Erica Gifford Mills on TransformationTalkRadio.com to equip, empower, and enlighten yourself. Erica will energize and excite you to power up your passionate dream that sets your soul on fire. So, get fearlessly ready and get powerfully rooted in your yes to live it up, love it up, and let it go. Visit GetRootedRadio.com. on to Live the Good Life show, and today my guest is Shuta Morelli. She is she has a master's of science, she's a licensed massage therapist, and a certified hypnotherapist, and she has been, she created an institution called the Body Mind Bridge Institute, and what she does is she helps teach healthcare professionals to facilitate, guide, and walk with their clients through a method that empowers them, their patients, to recover from their symptoms simply by learning to engage their healing mind. Welcome back, Shuta. I'm so thankful that you're here today. This is a rich conversation, very rich. So, we've been talking a little bit about survival trances. But there's more than just the one. That is, I think, the big one that has the largest impact on an individual. However, would you just kind of give an overview of the other types of trances, and just so that we're able to really understand better?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, the word trance may be an uncomfortable word for some people because they think of the zombie thing or somebody's controlling me thing. And I just want to explain that the word trance means is that our awareness goes somewhere else. And so during a regular day of life, we're checking in and out all the time, aren't we? I mean, we can daydream, look out the window and daydream and not realize what's going on in the room kind of thing because we're checked out momentarily. That's called a low-quality trance. It's not good. It's not bad. Sometimes it helps you get away from what they call beta processing, too much thinking. So it is helpful that way, but it's kind of a neutral kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting down in front of the TV, watching a movie, we trance out, right? So that's what I mean by that word, trance. And so there's the neutral type of trance that we all know about. There's other examples. There is the survival trance, which is kind of the focus of our talk today. There's also a positive sensory trance, and that's what makes life so worthwhile, is when we're so smelling the smell, the aroma of a rose, for example, and for just a few moments, it's like, ah, it's a full sensory, positive sensory kind of trance. Good food, good whatever, I mean, music, that type of thing. It makes life fun. And the fourth type of trance is the one that is actually transformative because it's called the restorative trance, and that's what body-mind-bridge work is centered on. It is centered on, as I mentioned earlier, helping this 10% of our mind, this conscious mind, know how to safely go into the deeper mind and to make some changes, to make some transformation. So that's called a restorative trance. So the four general types of trance are the neutral, the survival trance, the positive sensory, and the restorative. So there's the overview.
Perfect. Okay. So that, and I mean, oh gosh.
Where do we go from here?
I know. But what's really exciting is, okay, so I showed the book, right? I don't know. Jamie, do you have a picture of the book? So I'm really excited. Shuta, what are you offering our guests?
That's the first book that I wrote, and it's a three-chapter introduction to this work. And I'm offering three free ebooks of that particular one. It was actually one of my students for my course was a psychiatrist, and when she finished my course, she said, "Could you write something up that I can, something short, you know, concise that I can give my patients so they can read it and decide if they want to do this type of work with her, with this psychiatrist?" So I thought, and I had never written a book before, and I thought, okay, I'll throw something together, and it was so fun. So that's what this is. It's a basic intro, and the second book that I wrote is more like the whole curriculum. It's this book right here, The Body Mind Bridge and the Self-Healing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's more of the whole curriculum of what I'm doing.
Okay, great.
But the first one is the one I'm giving away.
Yes, the What If Symptoms Are Your Friend. So to receive a copy. I mean, we've got, what, three copies to give away. So please call in to the show, 1-800.
I'll give it away. I'll help you out there. It's 800-930-2819, 800-930-2819.
Perfect. Call in, leave your name, your phone number, and your email address, and Tuna will contact you after the show. I think it's great because this book really explains everything quite simply, you know, so that we can start to, as individuals, do our own work, start that, and work on some of the surface stuff. I don't know about you. I would imagine that we're similar in how we're working with clients is that they come to us with a specific issue, and then what happens is that we deal with a specific issue, and then we find that there are underlying things that we need to work with them on.
Yeah, they come with a what I call a symptom, and a lot of us think symptoms are just physical, but we have, you know, emotional. We have all kinds of types of symptoms, so they could come because they've been working with depression. I mean, in depression for so long, and they've tried everything, and they realize there's something deeper. Or they come with chronic hip pain, and they've been everywhere, and the MRI is clear, and there's no physical reason why their hip hurts. So they know that there's something deeper inside, and it's usually, in my experience, it's some kind of survival trance that has lodged in the body. And again, it's a friend, because that hip pain, as uncomfortable as it is actually, again, trying to get our attention.
Sure, sure.
It's so really something, yeah.
It's fascinating how everything really is connected.
Isn't it?
And dealing with this inner work really focuses and highlights the fact that self-care is so vitally important. And that is nutritionally, that's movement. I mean, that's seeking good, healthy social circles. Always looking for what's best for you and then for others, but what's best for you so that there's, again, no marginalization, honoring and valuing yourself as an individual and your value and worth, and most importantly, feeding and taking care of your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't very much conversation around the heart piece, and yet the biggest disconnect, I think, is between the brain and the heart. I mean, that's what, maybe 18 inches? I mean, and that's the hardest path to travel and connect is head and heart. And I believe that those survival trances have been part of what separated us as individuals.
Yeah, I was just going to go there.
Great.
You know, you mentioned the whole self-care thing, and there'll be people listening who might think, I don't know how to do self-care. I don't think I'm worth it. I mean, they want to, but they don't. There's something stopping them from taking care of themselves, basically. And they know what they need to do. We all know what we need to do, right? But there's something that stops them. And it, again, in my experience, it's a survival trend. Something happened when you were a little child that made you feel worthless. And so 40 years later, you still feel that way, even though you're successful out in the world kind of thing. You know, your outer appearance is one way, but inside you're thinking, I don't know how to take care of myself. I get it, but something's stopping me. And that's another example of how a survival trance is still in us and it's still impacting our life, you know, decades later.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say, instead of saying it's pretty amazing, I want to say we're pretty amazing.
Right? Because
oh, my God.
We are all innately born with that magnificent gift deep within inside us.
Yeah.
And And when preparing for this this conversation with you, I just had to go back and just review, you know, my foundation and the terms and how they resonate with me. And I just want to encourage people and remind them that traumas create emotional responses, okay? And traumas are terrible events. They could be mean words that are said. They could be something that happens to us physically. It could be, oh my gosh, a number of things. It could be being in an automobile accident, and there are some emotions that are trapped in the body and manifest its way to something obnoxious. But maybe more of that when we come back, but it's time for another break.
Before we break, can I just mention one thing?
Yes.
I wanted to make sure people realize that traumas don't have to be huge things to affect your life. I mean, just a bully saying something to you in the fourth grade, there's a survival chance. Falling out of a tree as a kid and having to go to the hospital there, you know, or surgery. There's so many mundane ways that we can feel traumatized and they can still affect us. It doesn't have to be, you know, soldier in combat or witnessing horrible violence. It can be something more mundane than that.
Sure. Yeah. And thank you for that question.
Yeah.
More when we come back, and we'll have some tips for you so that you can start your healing process.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnudsenSpeaks.com. Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at TransformationTalkRadio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit SharingLoveAndLightShow.com.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Volara Company. I've been using the Volara Company equipment, the air machine, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can go to MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
I'm Carrie Nail from Nailed It Radio. Understanding our personality preferences can be huge in conquering miscommunication with others. For example, people who prefer to take in information through their five senses tend to see things in practical detail. And people who prefer to take in information intuitively see patterns in the big picture. And so a great strategy for those who prefer sensing is to group detailed thoughts and written communication into three headlines so as not to overwhelm the intuitive person with too many details. And people who prefer intuition should be direct, don't assume, and take time to group random big ideas into three groups so as not to overwhelm the sensing person with vague possibilities. I specialize in helping people understand these differences so you can take them into every aspect of your life to thrive. For more information, you can visit my website, KerriNail.com. That's KerriNail.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, seat and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit nancylandrum.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Tuna Morelli, and we're talking survival trances, and we're talking about the mind-body bridge and how integrated we are. And I was just sharing with her that I didn't realize until this conversation that I actually had a check and realized that a few years ago, I was in a conversation with someone. I don't even remember what the conversation was about, but the individual looked at me and said, you know what, don't be so smart and don't be so involved. And it just, my thought process at the time was, man, that's rude. But instead of saying anything, I just kind of, you know, pushed it down, walked on and walked away. And then later, like during the break, I'm thinking, hey, wait a minute. That happened to me. That's kind of rude. Where more times than not, and looking at back at it, the person who told me that was a very insecure individual and quite frankly had different gifts than I did. And yet when we collaborated and we worked together and she did what she was gifted at and I did what I was gifted at, man, the kind of work that we did was phenomenal. And this was nonprofit work.
But that one comment from her kind of shut you down for a while, right?
For a while, it did.
And that's a very wonderful example of a quick survival trance. It's like, oh, my God, I shouldn't say anything. I shouldn't be me. I shouldn't express who I am because somebody just...
Right? Exactly. It was almost like a little bug got squished. You know, my little heart got tweaked or whatever. And it was like... Yep. Yeah, for quite some time. I mean, I ended up withdrawing from nonprofit work, and yeah, wow, interesting. Tuna, how can people get in touch with you?
Probably the best way would be my email, and it is S. Morelli, and I'll spell it M-O-R-E-L-L-I, 555 at Gmail. S. Morelli 555 at Gmail. I'd love to hear from you.
Perfect. Thank you. And if anybody wants to get in touch with me, you can go to my Instagram and drop me a message. You can go to my, which is Live the Good Life Sabrina. You can go to my Facebook public figure page, Sabrina A. Wright, or you can go to my website, therightbalance.com. Wright is W-R-I-G-H-T. And drop me a message there. We want to hear from you, and we want to continue the conversation because, quite frankly, you're worth it. You're worth the help. You're worth the freedom. You're worth the health and the vitality. So, yeah, let's keep that conversation going. So, Tuna. someone listening to the show and having little epiphany moments and thinking, you know, I wonder if I've got, we have a caller. Sorry, Juno, I'll put mine on hold. So we have a caller. We have, she has a question. Lisa from California. Welcome.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
Hi, Lisa.
Great. Okay, so, Sheena, I have a question for you. If people, I know people are a bit hesitant, some people are a bit hesitant to meet with you in person or to meet with people in person. Is the work that you do able to be done virtually?
Yes, in fact, that's what I do now. All the work that I do now is virtual. And I am so amazed how well it translates. It's pretty amazing because if we do this type of work together, you know, on Zoom or something, you get to be, you know, in your own home, in your own bed, nice and safe, you're sitting up on your sofa. So, yes, the answer is yes.
Fantastic, fantastic, because I'm sure a lot of people would want to take advantage of that and not feel like if they're listening from another part of the country, obviously it's not feasible for them to come to Washington. But right. more importantly, like you said, they feel safe and comfortable in their own home. So that's fantastic. So thank you. That's wonderful.
You're so welcome. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, thank you for that question, Lisa. I know. I think that that's one of the biggest gifts from last year is the fact that we can do our work virtually and help more people. Really help more people. Because this isn't, you know, like Lisa said, this isn't just a Washington
right.
therapy or a Washington resource. This is a global resource. And now, I mean, it's brilliant that we can actually connect globally.
It is, isn't it?
For all of this.
It's kind of like the neurons in our body. I mean, you know, in the last few minutes, I would love to be able to give everyone something that they can do, you know, an actionable step.
Talk about it.
Can I do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I want you to. Yes.
So we often don't think of our body as intelligent, but oh my God, there's so much intelligence in our physicality. I mean, I don't know how to digest my lunch. I don't know how to do that. There's so much intelligence. And if you come from the aspect of every one of our cells is aware, is conscious, they're all talking to each other, there's a conversation going on all the time. And a lot of times we're not privy to that conversation because we're busy out in the world. So the next time you feel triggered, the next time you feel that something old coming up and blindsiding you, here's something simple you can do. Excuse yourself, go to a private place, close your eyes, find your breath. I'm sure you all know how to just move your awareness inside and find a place, a location in your physical body where you're feeling that emotion. Are you feeling it in the chest? Are you feeling it in the belly? Are you feeling it in your kneecaps? Are you feeling it in your forehead? You're closing your eyes and you're moving your awareness to the part of your body that is where you feel the sensation. And then just be curious and in your mind's eye, see what's there. And whatever random image pops up, speak with it. Have a conversation. Be curious, like, all right, so who are you? What is it that you need? That type of thing. How are you serving me? Just have a conversation with it, and that emotion will disintegrate, and you will regain your control, not because you're squishing it down, but because you're hearing what it is that this greater intelligence in you is trying to get to you, trying to help you understand. It's an adventure. It's an amazing thing when you start listening to the body. And I know you hear that about that all the time, but when the only way we can really hear that is if we move ourselves into a quieter mind, the alpha mind, and that's a whole other topic. But when we become quieter in ourselves, then we can move our awareness to that part in our body, then we can imagine what a symbol or an image of something that's there and have a conversation with it, and you'll learn something from your intelligent body that you need to do differently to care for yourself.
I like that. Thank
it's like
you.
Specific to you.
Right?
Right? Our healing information is specific to us.
Uh-huh.
Based on our life.
Exactly. Wow, powerful. Powerful tool. Thank you, Shuna. Again, Shuna, tell us what you brought other than that fantastic tip to deactivate. What do you have available for some of our listeners who call in today?
Oh, the ebook. Yes, I've got, how many copies are left? Two left?
I think there's two left.
Two copies of the ebook left. Yeah, the first book, my introductory book. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Perfect.
I'd love for people to read it. It really gives you a foundation of how amazing we are.
What if symptoms are our friends?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank you so much, Shuna, for taking the time out of your day today to come on the show. Let's talk about what's important, offer helpful tips for everyone on their way to living a healthier, more vital life. And folks, if you, again, if you want to get in touch with Shuna, do it by email. And that email, Shuna, is?
smorelli555@gmail.com. And Morelli is spelled M-O-R-E-L-L-I.
All righty. Let's continue this conversation. And thank you so much, Shuna.
Sabrina, thank you.
It was my pleasure. We're going to have you back next year.
All right. In January, let's do it.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great day, everyone. And you've been listening to Live the Good Life Show, and my name is Sabrina Wright. Have a great day, and may you just feel really empowered to enjoy yourself. All right. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Live the Good Life Show with Sabrina Wright. Tune in on the second Thursday of next month at 11 a.m. Pacific for more tips, tricks, and insights to help you invest in your best self. Find balance in your lifestyle and watch yourself evolve into who you're meant to be. For more information about Sabrina and her services, visit therightbalance.com. That's therightbalance.com.